It is so good to give. It is better to give than to receive. We thank the ushers this morning, and we thank all of you for opening your hearts and giving a portion of what the Lord has given you, giving it back to God, because he did ask the question, shall a man rob God? And we don't want to get caught outside of the law with our Heavenly Father. Good morning, I'm Rosamond Patterson. I'm one of the small group leaders here at the Church Covington. The small group is Jesus and Recovery, doing what it takes to stay stopped. We focus on recovery from a variety of addictions and sins, and we found that it's not enough to stop. It's not enough to even just stay stopped, you know, not to go back. We have to do what it takes so that we have the strength, the faith, the knowledge, the position to stay stopped. And that's what we discuss in our small group. Pastor Darrell, as Tommy said, is on assignment this week. He's laboring at another church, but he sends his love and his hellos. And I'm honored, truly just honored, to be standing in for him to give honor unto God, to give honor unto God first, for he is above all. Jesus is the King, and I definitely want to thank Pastor Darrell and Pastor Kristen for the opportunity to stand up here and to bring the word. On behalf of our pastor, welcome all of our members, all of our guests, families and friends, those here and those watching at home. We're so glad that you are here today. We're so glad that you made it out, or that you made it out of bed, or maybe you just made it to the remote and turned on Roku and was able to start streaming. There is nothing like fellowshipping with the presence of the Lord, and you can do that here, and you can do it by faith at home. Welcome, welcome. Well, I want to begin this morning by asking a question. And it's a question that some of you may have heard before. Why shouldn't my heart be discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Should my heart feel lonely? And long for heaven and home. The Lord is strong in this house this morning. When Jesus is my portion, I've got a portion, you got a portion. He fed the 5,000 and there was plenty to go around. Hey, constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Now I'm just going to go ahead and get straight to the point, because we got a lot of work to do. I sing because I'm happy, yeah, yeah. You see, I sing because he set me free. Oh, his eye is song, the sparrow, and I know. See, I used to have a whole lot of doubts, but now I know. I have been thoroughly persuaded by the Spirit of the living God, and I know He watches me and you. He watches you. He watches you and He watches me, yes. He watches you and me, yeah, oh, yes. He watches me, He watches you and me. Amen. Amen. The Lord is a deliverer. The Lord is a savior. The Lord is strong and mighty in battle, and He has never failed. The Lord is able to move mountains, and the Lord is able to do the things we ask and the things we need. I'm here to tell you today that the Lord God is a healer. Our scripture this morning is coming from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. For those of you who don't have it, it may be on the screen, but once you have it, let's peer long and deep and ask the Lord for a word of wisdom as He grants us the understanding. Verse 1. Now when He, talking about Jesus, when He ended all His sayings in the audience of the people, He entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him, to Jesus, the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that they would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and guess what? He goeth. And I say to another, come, and you better believe he'll come. And to my servant, do this. He doesn't do that. He does this. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned himself about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Verse 9 again for emphasis. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him around and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. 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 Continuing in the series of favor, we want to approach it from the perspective of favor in your health. And if God be willing, I would like to speak with you for a few moments this morning from the subject of find your faith. Find your faith. Pray with me for a moment, won't you please? Dear Lord, we know that all the answers are in your hand. And we know, Lord, that when you get ready, you can move a mountain the same way we can move a pillow. But Lord, we also know that you've given us a part to play. And sometimes you lead us and guide us into growth, into understanding, and being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Sometimes, Lord, you hand out the blessing, and boom, there it is. Other times, Lord, we have work to do. Well, Heavenly Father, this morning, we ask that you would rain down fresh understanding, that you would touch our hearts, open up our minds, and quiet all the outside noise so that we can hear a word from you and so that we can be transformed by that word, so that we can be better tools in your hand, so that we can be finely tuned instruments so that you can be about your business. So so that we can be about your business. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I asked God what he wanted me to tell you this morning. And he said, tell them that I am a healer and that I heal in a variety of ways. And he led me to the various scriptures to point out the somewhat subtle differences and some of the broad differences between how God at times in the scripture actually worked a healing. He brought me to Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, it said, when Jesus saw their faith. Now, this is the people who tore the roof off the building to get to Jesus. Jesus said that, the scripture says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. And, of course, the Pharisees and Sadducees came in with doubts, trying to dismantle that word, trying to bind that word, trying to cripple and displace that word and say, who are you to forgive sins? And Jesus goes on to tell them, what's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to take up thy bed and walk? And that's exactly what he said in verse 11. I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose and took his bed and went forth. And so we see Jesus performing a healing with his word. This is a distinct example of Jesus saying something and then it coming to pass. Jesus speaking those things that are not as though they were, and the world and creation and the cells and the muscles and the sinews and the bones collaborating under the authority of Jesus Christ. And that sick man got up out that bed. I'm here to tell you today that someone else here who's suffering, you're going to be getting up to today too. And Jesus also said, tell them that sometimes I spoke a word in circumstances where no one had any faith. In the previous example, Jesus had seen their faith. They heard about Jesus walking on water. They tore the roof off the building. But then there's also examples when nobody is believing nothing. We're talking about the dead man Lazarus. Mary and Martha, they were like, well, where were you, Jesus? Where had you been? If you had been here a few days, nobody thought that there was anything that Jesus could do. Nobody thought that there was anything that Jesus would do. They thought maybe he came just to comfort Mary and Martha. And in a way, that's true. He did come to comfort them, but not just to say, oh, poor baby, he's in a better place now. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Mary didn't believe he could do it. Martha didn't believe he could do it. His disciples, he had told them, hey, let's stay behind 2 days. But Jesus was showing his authority over death. But when we really do a fine-tooth comb and examine this scripture, Jesus was speaking his faith. Jesus was executing his authority in an atmosphere where no one believed he could. That's the second way that Jesus can heal. Not might heal, not may heal. Jesus can and does heal. Jesus also said unto me, tell them sometimes I laid hands on people. We think about Jesus making the little spittle in the ground and putting it on the blind man's eyes. We think about here in verse 5 where it says he could not do many miracles there except lay hands on a few sick folk and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Jesus also told me to tell you that last but definitely not least, there are other times that I appear to do nothing. There are times that I appeared to do nothing, and it was the faith of the believer that moved the mountains and made them whole. The most widely known example is that of the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus was headed to do another miracle. Jesus, according to the scripture, we don't see any evidence that he even had this woman on her mind. But this woman, because of her faith, she pushed through the crowd. She clawed and mashed her way forward and got to the place to where she could exercise her faith, where she said, if I can but just touch the hem of his garment, I feel a little better. Is that what she said? No, that ain't what she said. If I can just make my way through all these hundreds, if not thousands of people, and touch the hem of his garment, I'll get a little relief and I'll be able to sleep tonight. Is that what she said? No, sir, no, ma'am. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Jesus didn't lift a finger. Jesus didn't speak a word. Jesus didn't lay hands. It was the faith of the believer in the presence of Lord Jesus Almighty that was able to move the mountain, that was able to dry up the issue of blood, that was able to make a sick person whole. And that's where we find ourselves today in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. But before I get into those scriptures, because I asked God, what do you want me to tell your people? I don't want to leave out anything that he said. He said, tell them, Rosamond, that I am with you. Some of us may be wrestling with fears and doubts, uncertainty. Perhaps something from the past has us wondering, how far is Jesus' love willing to extend to find me or to go with me? God says, my word is very clear. I will never leave you or forsake you. God's love is not conditional. Some of his blessings may be conditional, but his love and his presence with you is not conditional. And he also said to tell you, as we go into these scriptures, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, not even sickness, not even pain, not even disease, and not even, as it's described in the Bible, the birds of the air, that when the sower went out and sowed seeds, that these birds, these demons came and plucked up the seed. In the name of Jesus right now, we bind all satanic forces, all demonics, all Luciferian, all witches, all sorcery, all witchcraft. We bind it in the name of Jesus and render it useless. It falls flat. It returns back to the speaker void. And the word of God is true. And the word of God shall go forward. And the word of God shall bear much fruit in the name of Jesus. Not by my weak voice, but by the authority of the man, by the authority of the God man, by the one that gave his life over 2,000 years ago, and moreover, who rose from the grave, and now there's an empty grave, because he has all power, and he's seated at the right hand of God. Therefore, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, that's just how it is. There ain't no debate about it. There's nothing the devil has to say about it. Jesus told Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. And Lord, have mercy, if you continue to use me, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring your word. There is no doubt that some of us are in need of healing in our minds, our hearts, our souls, and our bodies. Perhaps some are even suffering from a wounded spirit. That's right. Spirits can need healing too. Sometimes you might think it's one thing, but when really it's another thing. Perhaps you have prayed, but the mountain has not moved yet. Perhaps you have been prayed for by others, and the mountain still has not moved. Nevertheless, God wants to help you today. Perhaps God has not spoken a word or laid hands yet, because he is trying to birth something inside of you, or maybe rebirth something inside of you. Perhaps he's trying to stir up that gift that God has planted on the inside of you for the healing of the nations. Perhaps God is calling you to a closer relationship with him. Perhaps God is trying to take you from faith to more faith. Perhaps, whether we realize it or not, perhaps it is time to find our faith. So how do we do that? Well, I'll answer the question of how do we find our faith with five other questions. Well, hold on now, Brother Rosman. Who told you my faith was lost? I come to church every Sunday. I serve. I pay my tithe. I'm good in the community. I don't steal nothing. I believe in God. I walked down the aisle. I gave the preacher my hand. I said I do. And I sat down and they baptized me, blooped, dumped me in the water and brought me up. I said, hallelujah. What do you mean I have to find my faith? Well, hey, listen. I am so happy for you if that's your testimony. I would love to hear your testimony. I'm sure everyone in the church would love to hear. We need more like you, and thank God for you. But am I the only one here that is blessed but still going through something? Am I the only one in the house today that God may have brought me from a mighty long way, but he's still trying to work things out in my heart? Am I the only one in the house that God is still trying to teach, am I the only one who still has a lot to learn? Well, if I'm not the only one, then join with me in examining these five questions that will aid us in our endeavor to find our faith. Luke chapter 7, verse 3 says, "And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant." The first big question to be asked and answered is, have we heard of Jesus? Have we heard about Jesus? Have we heard that he is the King of Kings? And have we heard that he is a strong deliverer? Have we heard that he is, as Malachi says, the Son of Righteousness who arises with healing in his wings? Have we heard that he gives favor to the faithful? Have we heard that he gives rest to the weary? Have we heard that he is the way maker? Have we heard about Jesus? And I would think that most of us would say, well, yes, I've heard about Jesus. But when the rubber meets the road and we run into those obstacles that our own talents and gifts and abilities are unable to amount, do we hear Jesus in those moments? Or do we hear our fears? Do we hear our doubts and our uncertainties and the limits and the glass ceilings and everything that they said about us and all the negativity? What do we hear when we're up against the challenge of our lives? Luke chapter 7, verse 4 says, "And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this." And so the next big question, obviously, is, have we come to Jesus? Now, I want to go a little bit deeper than the obvious. I would think many, if not most, have come to Jesus and have been saved. As I said earlier, we walked down the aisle or we said the sinner's prayer and we were baptized here or somewhere a long time ago. So on one level, most of us can definitely, probably would definitely say, yes, I've come to Jesus. But let's go a little bit deeper. With the thing that you may be wrestling with, that struggle, that root of unforgiveness, that bitterness, that hurt, that pain, have you come to Jesus with that? And some of you might say, well, yeah, now that you mention it, yeah, I've been praying about that for 3 years. I've really been praying about that for 3 years. Okay, we've been praying about it, but have we fully brought ourselves in our entirety to Jesus? Not just, oh, I know I need to work on that, come to Jesus. And not just, oh, well, yeah, I talked to Jesus about it. But have I brought my full self, all my baggage, all my luggage, all my shames, all my guilt, all my strengths, all my circumstances, all of the things that maybe God had told me to do some years back, but I have refused to do them? Have I brought that in confession also alongside of my petition, Lord, heal me over here, but I know, Lord, I haven't done what you've told me to do over there. Have we fully come to Jesus? Nicodemus came to Jesus. He came by night sneaking. Didn't want nobody to see him, but he came to Jesus. As we said before, the woman with the issue of blood, she pushed through. You've heard it preached before. Can you imagine racked with pain that your body's weak, but you know that this was your moment of truth and you did whatever you had to do to come to Jesus? You went above and beyond to come to Jesus. You pushed through. You pulled through. You knocked folks out of the way. You stepped over them. You had to have that experience with Jesus Christ. with that tenacity, with that determination, with that complete faith, have you come to Jesus? Luke chapter 7, verse 3 says, "Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed." The next big question is, have we humbled ourselves before Jesus? Have we humbled ourselves before Jesus? It's one thing to ask the Lord or to have faith in the Lord from a position of strength and from a position of confidence and a position of familiarity. But sometimes we have to fall on our face and humble ourselves. The lepers, they cried out vehemently and begged for mercy. They humbled themselves. Mary washed and kissed Jesus' feet. She washed his feet with her hair, and she washed his feet with her tears of gratitude. She definitely found favor in the Lord's sight. She humbled herself. Zacchaeus humbled himself and went up higher. He climbed a tree just so he could see Jesus. He did what he had to do at his own expense. Now, let me ask you, when's the last time anybody in this room saw a grown person in a tree? Can you imagine going outside and climbing a tree? Going up a tree? If we saw somebody up a tree, we'd say, "Monkey, monkey. Look at that monkey, he done climbed a tree." But Zacchaeus humbled himself to the point where he wasn't concerned with what people would say. He was a rich man, and not just kind of rich, he was stupid rich. But he humbled himself and did whatever he had to do so that he could lay his eyes on the one who had what he needed. Now, for some of us, the humbling may not be going up. The humbling may be coming down. You may have to get off your high horse. Whoa, mule. You think you're on a high horse, but maybe you're just on a high mule. Saying to folks, "Hey, down there, how y'all doing?" No, no, no. Come off your high mule. Humble yourself. Get on your knees. Have a contrite heart. Confess your sins. Ask to be forgiven. Confess what you've done one to another. Ask to be forgiven. Give out. Forget. Humble yourself enough to forgive the person that you said you would never forgive. Hey, Jesus commanded us to forgive. How can we go ask our Father for something when we haven't even done what he's told us to do? Humble yourself. Humble myself. Lord knows I got a lot to work on. You don't believe me? There's two people sitting right there. Y'all can ask them after the sermon's over. They'll tell you. We all need to humble ourselves under the sight of God and man so that we can be in position to receive. Sometimes God will bless you when you're up, but take it from me, there are also times that you're only going to be blessed when you're down. Verse 8, "For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." So the fourth big question, and we're almost done. Can Jesus find your faith? Now, to some people, that question might be an oxymoron because you think, yeah, Jesus can do anything. Jesus can do anything but fail. He could fail if he wanted to, but he has the authority and the willingness not to fail. What do you mean, can Jesus find my faith? Well, let's look a little bit deeper here and see what we're really getting at. Actions speak louder than words. Maybe I should say that again. I got a few amens that time. Actions speak louder than words. Faith without, we're talking about, can Jesus find your faith? Faith without works is dead. Newness and that gratitude and that energy, and we're ready to go out and save the world. But now, the cares of the world may have beaten us down. The uncertainty of tomorrow may be inhibiting us from putting that next foot forward. The pains that we have tried to mask and hide, mask and smile over, and when folks ask us how we're doing, we say, oh, I'm fine. Are those pains causing that faith to die? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And when Jesus peers long and deep into our hearts, what type of substances does he find? That of things hoped for? Does he find the evidence in your actions, in our actions, that we have heard about Jesus? That we have come to Jesus? Does he find in our lives the proof that we have humbled ourselves? Can Jesus find our faith? Let's make it personal. Can even we, outside of Sunday morning, find our faith? And I know that the answer for many of you is yes, and that's great, and that's good, but God is always trying to teach every last one of us something. He's always calling us up to the next level. It's not enough to be a small group leader when you have a call on your life to preach the word. God is always calling us up higher. And when he is calling us up higher, when we examine our own lives, do we see the faith that, yes, I believe I have more work to do? Verse 10, and we're about to close. The praise team can come on. Somebody bet me that I wouldn't be able to finish in 35 minutes. I ain't going to say no names, but the first letter of his name is the letter after the letter C. And if I had been a betting man, I would have lost that bet. But we're going to wrap it up here. Verse 10, and they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. And I want us to pay close attention here. There's another story in Matthew of a centurion who had a sick servant, and Jesus spoke a word, said, be it unto thee as thou hast believed. Go thy way and find thy servant whole. But in this account, Jesus didn't have to say a word. He just marveled at the man's faith, and the man's faith was such that his servant was made whole. So I want to ask you as we close out, is God trying to birth something in you? Is he trying to erase all doubts? Now that we've heard the word, are we ready to be found whole? Now, I want to ask this morning of our prayer partners, of any that are still in the room, any that are willing, would you come down again? Any of our prayer partners who are here, would you come down again and join us up front? want to invite everyone in the room to come down to the altar and to humble yourselves. I want to invite you to come down and find your faith again here today. God's favor is here in this house. We are going to pray for you today. Whatever you may be dealing with, whatever you may be fighting with, wondering about, or have felt defeated by, won't you come? It could be an ache or a pain. It could be a child or a family member. It could be a situation from some 10, 20, 30 years ago. Won't you come? You may have hurt and pain in your heart and that just won't seem to heal. Perhaps there's a diagnosis that is grim and the future seems uncertain. But I have news for you today. If we find our faith, if we allow God to birth or rebirth in us that faith that has the power to move mountains, our lives, our families' lives, our communities' lives will be changed and transformed. Find your faith again. Jesus is going to do miracles right now. If the praise team was saying sweetly, won't you come? Everyone, would you raise your hands and arms towards the people up front? There is a diabetes issue, an issue with sugar, and God is rebuking that sugar right now.